Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we're unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is Grace Garcia, and this is my husband, David Garcia.
Hey.
Do you remember what number we were on?
Season 2, episode 12.
Season 2, episode 12. That's crazy. Well, today is my turn to take the lead on the discussion. And I want to title this, if you think of a better title, you can tell me, but I'm going to title this, While We Wait.
Okay.
The process of the, or like the journey.
The process of the journey or the journey of the process?
I'm saying like the process or the journey.
Oh, okay. All right.
But while we wait, just because I feel like we've been waiting. You've been waiting.
What are we waiting for?
Waiting. And I think how we always say this American culture where there's hustle and bustle and dreams and social media, that the waiting for many, for myself, it can get hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we wait, what does that look like while we wait? What kind of attitude do we get? What kind of growing happens while we wait?
Yeah.
So that's what I want to talk about.
Okay.
So while you've been waiting, what are you waiting for?
I mean, you tell me what I'm waiting for. You looked at me and said, we're waiting. I'm like, well, what the heck are we waiting for?
Well, personally, do you think that you're right where like you've always wanted to be? Do you think that there's something that you want to reach that you haven't reached?
There's some things that I feel like I have reached, let's say. I don't know why I don't like the word accomplished, but reached. Like having a family. I always, from a young age, always wanted a family.
Same.
And that was actually one of my journal entries at like 3 a.m. one of these days, on Sunday. I woke up, couldn't go back to sleep. And so I'm like, okay, got these thoughts. Let me just write them down. And one of them was like, you know what, God? I see you in my family, because I always wanted a family. I always wanted a wife. I always wanted 2 kids, you know, like, and I was just like, I see you in the details, because every single time I hug my kids, there's such joy that comes over me. Mm. And I'm so grateful for them. And having like the special moments with you, same thing. Like, I'm like, I see you, God, in the details. And these are answered prayers. These are dreams come true, you know. And the crazy thing is that even when we got married, you know, we've said the story before, like, it didn't start off that, you know, rainbows and butterflies. Like, it started off really rocky. So there was a waiting season of like, when is going to get to the point where like I thought it was going to be, like where I was going to have a best friend, like this person was always going to have my back. Like, when do I get to that feeling, you know? And I feel like we have gotten to that point. in regards to like my own personal accomplishments, goals, I honestly never thought I'd be in the health journey that I'm in now. With all the running, like I never saw myself running. I always kind of hated running other than like doing sports. And now I've fully fallen in love with running. I try to run almost every single day, training for my first marathon ever. So things like that, I never thought that I'd get to, but I'm really happy that I'm there. Mm. But going back to the topic of waiting. Okay. This feels weird to say, because I think I'm too, care too much about people's opinions. I never want to sound prideful, although there are times where I purposely sound prideful.
Very purposely?
Yeah, but there's certain like topics where I'm like, I really want to make sure that I never sound prideful in this certain area. Mm-hmm. And so growing up in church, small town church, 100 people, I always got the sense and I always got like people telling me, and I mean, you could call it people, you can call it intuition, you can call it God speaking, but that like I was meant for something greater. You know, and whether that was because I was in the worship team, so like worship wise, or I was just meant to like impact more people, or that God was going to use my life with the way that everything went, you know, to help youths or help men or help families or whatever it is, you know. And I think that's one of my driving factors of why we do this podcast. I'm like, this is a way where whatever it is that I've learned or what we've learned, you know, we can just put it out there and whoever is willing to listen and maybe learn something or even, again, have those conversations with other people to gain something. Mm-hmm. I live for that.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a little bit of like a, what do I want to say? Like a self-centeredness, maybe like a little bit of narcissism, but maybe that's just me being very pessimistic about my thoughts. But I do feel like there's more. And I think if you were to ask me, what am I waiting for? I'm like, it's just that the more, like, when is the more coming? Am I still in like the process season? Do I still have many more challenges and struggles to go through? Do I still have many more things to learn? You know, and I'm just sitting here wondering, like, I'm also wondering, again, very Americanized way of thinking, like, what is it that is going to make me help a lot of people? You know, is it writing a book? Is it this podcast? Is it starting a men's ministry? Is it starting a social media? Is it writing a song? Is it like, what is it that I'm going to be able to like almost stamp and be like, this is what God used to be able to help a lot of people. And I'm so grateful that he used me to do this. And the reason why like I'm nervous about putting this out there and saying this is because it can be interpreted as like, oh, like this dude's just looking for like the spotlight. This dude's just looking for, you know, a big break or whatever, the thing that puts him over the top. And I'm pretty certain that that's not what I'm looking for, you know, because in this regard, I do feel like a Paul, like I know what it is to have and what it is not to have, you know, like I've had those moments where I've helped somebody in need and nobody ever knew about it, you know, like, and I don't need anybody to know about it. And I have had those moments where it was publicly like, oh, you know, we did this thing, we did this event or whatever. I feel like I'm just going around and around, but that's something that I'm waiting for. Just like, I guess that moment where I'm like, this is the full potential, the full potential unleashed.
Yeah. Like your purpose. Like, okay, that's what I was meant to do.
Yeah. Cause right now I feel like God has given me so many skills and talents, and favor, grace, and I can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I feel like I haven't hit the mark where like, boom, this is the thing. This is the thing that I'm going to be in. I'm going to run in for a very long time. And this is what's going to help many. And that, because my desire is always through whatever it is that God uses me to do, I just want to see his glory unfold. And his glory unfolding to me is people come into Christ, people, their lives changing for the better, them really expanding their mind, their spirit, their capability of their bodies, like that to me, like that breaks me every single time. Every single time I see some sort of decision or transition where this is where they were before and this is where they're moving to now, like that breaks me every time, you know, like mm-hmm. That to me is God's glory being unfolded.
Interesting. And I think I relate with you a lot in what you said, and I guess worried that it might sound like prideful, but I don't know. Like part of me is like, okay, does everyone have this thought? And it's just not an original thought.
Like you mean an idea or the thought of there's a big moment
the
happening?
The thought, yeah. Like I'm waiting for something.
I think especially in America, a good amount of people are
wired
that way.
So then I think like, are we just waiting because we've seen these movies, we've heard these people, we're following this certain crowd, and we hear like it kind of has swept up the churches now too, since it's like a culture movement. I feel like it's swept up in churches. So it's like, are we all waiting for the same thing? Like how do you know if it's your voice versus like God's, like while you wait?
I think one of the maybe problems is some people may put too much emphasis on I'm waiting for this big moment that they don't appreciate the little moments that they're having.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about it here where we want this humongous moment, the moment where I shine or whatever. But you kind of put aside the fact that God is using you as a mother. Mm. And that's something huge.
Yeah.
Because maybe that is your big moment. Mm. That one of your kids or both of your kids are going to go out and do great things. Maybe become missionaries, like spread the gospel. I don't know, revolutionize something. And I think because we live in America, and like you said, the movies, the shows, they glorify these humongous big moments, mm-hmm. you know, like that's like the story that is told in every single movie that is like a big moment. Like there, I think there's like a, almost like a template, and it's usually like there's a main character, they go through a struggle, they overcome the struggle, they get what they always wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, that's almost like the American movie template.
The plot line.
Yeah. And I actually read a book that had to do with storytelling. And it basically said, you want the best story to tell? That's the story that you have to tell. Mm-hmm. Whether it's reality or you have to fabricate it, like that's the best story. Like people will eat that up. There's a main character. There's a struggle. Overcome the struggle, you get your big glory moment. And like I was saying, in the midst of waiting for that, sometimes we don't appreciate the moment, the little moments that we have, the training moments, the process moments, the moments that we're waiting for this thing. And I think what I gained from that one book that we read about parenting, where the lady took a break, she was already doing ministry, but she took a break from ministry to be able to raise her kids. And she said, this is a training ground. Mm-hmm. And again, like her taking the moment to be like, no. I don't need the spotlight. I don't need the glory. I don't need the stage. I don't need the title. I don't need none of that. I need to do what I had to do at home. And this right here is going to train me for when I am finished my job as a parent in regards to like raising them and letting them go out and, you know, fly on their own. I'll be ready for whatever God is asking me to do after.
Yeah.
Because if I could do it with these kids, I could do it with anybody. You know, and I think that's something that we need to hone in on is don't take them for granted. Like this word keeps coming up in my head, but I don't know how to say it in English. It's despreciar.
Devalue, no?
Yeah, like devalue.
Like waste.
Yeah, don't waste like what you're going through. Don't waste the little moments. Don't waste the moments that you have with your kids, the moments that you have your wife. Like those themselves are big moments. Those moments that maybe you help somebody in need, like, and you're just sitting here waiting for like, I need that $1 million book deal or whatever. Like, don't not value those, all those moments. Mm-hmm. Like God is using you in all those moments. And what is more valuable, one humongous moment or many, many little moments from like over a big timeline? Mm. You know, like what use is it for you to not do anything for years waiting for this one moment when like all those years are just wasted?
Yeah. That's good.
So.
And so do you think the waiting becomes difficult when your eyes just set on that end? That's like, because the question I wanted to ask is, why is waiting hard for so many people? And is it because they're just focused, how you said, they're not looking in their present, they're living in the future where it hasn't happened, and so everything that doesn't seem like that big break is just like, oh, oh, like they're just dreading it per se?
Yeah, I think there is like a saying or feeling or there's something that's said in church a lot, which is, you know, trust the process, you know, just be okay with the process. God is processing you. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the church, capital C church, tends to lack the ability to explain that, because people go, okay, you know, the word that you just gave me, trust the process, I take it, you know. I feel heard. I feel seen. God knows that I'm struggling through this waiting season. You know, he gave me this word. There's an extra log in the fire. Mm-hmm. But what happens when that log runs out? Like, where's that? What's going to happen to that fire? You know? And I think we haven't explained, like, what it is that, A, that process looks like. What are you doing in that process? So for example, you're waiting for that big moment, you know, God's going to use you, like, you know, there's something special inside of you, which there's something special inside of everybody. And you're waiting, and especially in the American culture, again, you know, we keep saying the American culture, but it's true. Like we have a microwave mentality where it's just like, okay, like I'm waiting, but my patience clock is only about a week long. And when that week runs up, ding, if I don't get another wood in that fire by something external, I'm going to give up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've waited long enough. But if we look at the Bible, and this is for all the Christians, if we look at the Bible, who got what it, like, who got what they were told they were going to get in a snap of a finger? Other than the people, you know, that, you know, Jesus healed and stuff, like, you know, they came to him, they healed. But I'm talking about like the story of David. I'm talking about the story of Moses. Like David gets anointed king. I love talking about David. So David gets anointed king. How many years does it take for him to become a king?
15.
How many struggles does he have to go through? How much persecution does he have to go through before he becomes king? Mm-hmm. And like when you look at those stories, it's just like we're over here complaining about a week. And these men waited years. They were told, here, this is how I'm going to use you. They're like, all right, cool. Years. And especially the reason why I use David is because like to be a king of a whole nation is huge. Like when we're talking about I'm waiting for that big moment, like what's a bigger moment than becoming king of that nation? I don't think there's much. And so to be told you are going to be king, like nowadays if somebody were to be told, like in the church culture, like you're going to be king, oh, that person's on social media telling the whole world. Like there is no like, all right, let me have a humble heart, let me, like, no, God's calling me right now, but he's not, you know, appointing me right now.
Yeah.
But there is no waiting nowadays. There's like, oh, he said it, I'm going to put it out there. I need everybody to know. I need everybody to respect my title. Like just this like ego just starts flaring up. And I think it's just because there's like such a deep-seated desire for a lot of people to be noticed, to be appreciated, to be loved, to be worthy. Mm-hmm. And that could be the American culture, that could be society, that could be the way that they were raised. Like there's deep-seated need in a lot of us where, you know, we have to put that into check. And that's what I love about me and you, is that we kind of like, we hold each other accountable. Like, hey, I'm having these thoughts, you know, like, let me know, like, put me in check if you need to, like, am I wrong? Am I being prideful? Am I being egotistical? Like, help me out. And I love that about me and you, because it's important. Because if not, like, yeah, our minds will just race and we'll go with it, and it's not good.
Yeah, for sure. And as you were saying about, you know, like our culture, how it's microwave, we want it now. And then you were referring back to the Bible. You said the example of David. Mm-hmm. I wonder, I think culture plays like a huge, huge role, because I wonder if we did live in Bible times, like, would it be so different? Because you have people who don't have social media, so they're not seeing the highlights of everybody. Mm-hmm. Their examples around them, like farming, like when they plant a seed, like they're seeing growth or results in a long period of span, right? Like months, versus we're hungry, we can't even wait anymore. People get hangry. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, no, I need to eat now. I'm going to just go drive through, whatever. And people are kind of set in their social classes. So if you're born, your parents are shepherds, most likely you will be one, right? If you're a king, then you'll be the next in line. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if back then it'd kind of be easier, because you don't have nowadays all these people saying like, I'm not happy, because they're just everyone's trying to get the same thing, the same goal.
Yeah, I think it's that. And also because of social media, you see normal people now make it big. They go viral off one video and you're just like, if they can do it, if this normal person, because like before social media, we would see movie actors and stuff and it's just like, oh, that's still unattainable for us, because we'd have to go to acting school and we have to do all this. And then the auditions and, you know, how hard is it? But now with social media, like so many quote unquote average Joes have made it so big that they've kind of like opened the door to anybody in the world to be like, you can make it. And so now everybody is trying to rush through this door of like, I'm trying to make it. But I did have a question for you. What do you think was going through David's mind when he was being anointed king? Like from the point that His brother or his father that went to go get him, finally brought him in. He was the eighth son. And they're like, you're going to be anointed king right now.
Every time I read that or like I hear it for some reason, I just imagine like a little kid, like kind of disoriented. Like he was
a teen, right?
He was busy. Yeah, he was like a young boy, like a teen. But I just like he was busy kind of. Yeah. When you're caught off guard and you're just like, oh, yeah, like you're out of the loop. I kind of see it as a nap in a way, you know, when you wake up and everyone's already gone and you're just like, what's happening? You're out of the loop. Like, what's going on? What did I miss? Right. And so he steps on the scene, like, what's happening? What's going on? Like, why? Because they obviously had conversations and the sons lined up and kind of knew what was going on. And so, like, you're a king. He's just like not getting it. I see him as like not getting
it. You think he just didn't grasp it?
I probably could be totally wrong. But that's my first assumption.
That could be an explanation of why he never like took on that like, I'm going to be king, you know, like he just like, it went
like,
right over
his
head.
This is too surreal. Like, this is crazy. I'm not even next in line. Like usually you had to be next in line. He's not related
to
Saul.
The only reason why I would not agree with it is because he was a sharp tool.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm not saying he went his whole life like nothing.
Because
I'm talking about that moment. Like it was just like, and then it took a while to set in. Like, oh my goodness, like this is gonna happen, you know? And maybe probably even trusting that calling. Like you don't think as a human you trust, like you go through this like, God,
is this
like,
real?
Is this gonna happen? Like, oh, I'm just, maybe he was wrong.
No, but Samuel, you know, was an important prophet. He was the prophet.
Exactly. But what if like, now nah, there's, what if he was wrong? What if he was wrong? I feel like as a human, his humanity, I'm not saying he completely believed that, but you know how we tell ourselves lies? Like, oh, was I imagining it? No, God, you're like, for sure, 100%, you're like real. And then you start doubting. And then it's like, no, you like put yourself in check.
And I think that's actually a very good and interesting point that you're making right now, is that some of us have been called, like some of us already know, like, hey, this is where God is leading us, mm-hmm. right? And because of the waiting season, we've had those thoughts of like, is this true? Like, it's been a long time, especially with like the time. The time is what always gets us.
Yeah.
The time is like, how long? Like, and a year goes by and you're like, is this even real? And then it starts kind of like getting foggy, you know, and you're just like, and then you kind of have this posture and this thought of like, oh, whatever, like if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Like,
yeah, like I'm Abraham. Not gonna,
and sometimes it's a coping mechanism of just, let me diminish this calling mm-hmm. to be able to just cope with the time that's going to go by.
Yeah.
But is that the right move to diminish it just for the sake of you, like emotionally being able to cope with the time that it's going to take?
No, yeah.
Because if you're not being intentional during that time, are you being prepared mm-hmm. for the moment? And I always say, success in anything that you want to do, success is when opportunity meets preparation. Meaning the opportunity that God gives you can come at whatever time. If you have not prepared for that opportunity, mm-hmm. will you succeed? And so I think it's very important. But no, I do like what you're saying in regards to David. Yeah, because I get curious. You know, like the prophet Samuel comes, anoints you as king. And then it says he just goes back to doing his regular stuff.
Yeah.
Goes back to shepherding sheep.
And I see it like Abraham. He was called the man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, so do I do with the servant? Like, I mean, his wife was like, hey, you should do it. But he's like, maybe you're right. Like, maybe. And it was like, wait, did God say, you know, like that age? Like it was, he didn't doubt God. But I think after a while, you're just like, did I hear him right? Is it going to be with Sarah, my wife? Or maybe she's right. Maybe I need to do it with my servant. And so I think it's humanity. I don't think we can't see them as like Jesus, like 100% knew the will and 100% like gonna go through with it without a fault. I think human emotions take place. But I do think I don't want to say they had it easier because we have a good life, I think. But it's interesting that the more opportunities we get, the more equal everyone is, the more now we have this like, culture of anxiety is at all-time high, depression is at all-time high, just the lack of gratitude. I feel like that's so oxymoronic. I don't even know if that's a word. I know oxymoron is, but I just try to change the tense. It's oxymoronic. It's an oxymoron. Like, our life has gotten so much better from the past, and people say like we've progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yet that waiting is where we kind of start jumping back and going crazy, I think. If we're not doing it well, if we're not intentional, I think that waiting can kind of make us a little bit insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like everybody needs to embrace the fact that all good things take time.
But I feel like you can know it, you can hear it, you can believe it. And then when you're in it, you're like, nah.
But then you have to ask yourself the question of like, why am I so desperate to get this thing that I've been told I'm going to get? You know, like, why am I so desperate?
Because it's that you're missing something in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I think it doesn't help with obviously comparing or idolizing that situation.
Yeah.
Like if you are at the point of desperation, I think it's become an idol. And there was something that Michelle Obama said, surprisingly. She's a really smart woman. I told you earlier, like,
mm-hmm.
I might not agree with her on like policy and stuff like that, but I wouldn't mind asking her about like marriage, about motherhood, about like serving, like public, being a public servant, about waiting, like all those stuff. I've been listening to some podcasts, but one of them, she said that what she wishes young people knew is that life is ordinary. It's boring. And this is coming from like the first woman, you know, like she,
one of the most famous women in America.
Yeah. Like her husband made it, you know, like he made it. He was the first black president. Like how, what more could you want? Right. And she says, day to day, most of your time, it's boring. And people can't find like joy and happiness in that. And so they go looking for more in life when no matter who you are, no matter what you achieve, your day to day is ordinary. And people are like upset with that, or like they don't want that, or they're chasing this high, that you might get glimpses of it in life. I think God is good. And it's to see what he has in store for us. But expecting like every single day to be like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Like I'm good. Like that's not realistic. But since so many of us are chasing it, I think that's why we get so disappointed. We're so ungrateful. And so we're like opposite. Like people start hating their lives or just chasing. And they end up failing. And so I thought that was super wise.
And I think when you chase certain like levels or glory or whatever, you may obtain it only to find out that in a matter of time, that too is going to become ordinary to you.
Yeah.
And then you're going to need your next fix of, okay, this wasn't enough. I need the next thing. And if you keep doing that, you're basically just addicted to chasing, you know, whatever it is that you're looking to chase. And that's a point that you need to reflect and be like, what's missing inside of me that keeps me like so desperate to chase the next big thing, the next spotlight, the next whatever, big thought or idea.
Yeah.
And you know, coupling that with, you know, the whole David posture, like David gets anointed king and he goes back to his normal life.
Yeah.
And I think that is the right posture for us to have. Like maybe God has already told you, or, you know, you have a feeling or direction of where you want to be, you know, whether that's a writer or podcaster or men's ministry or women's ministry or whatever it is that you want to do, whatever direction that you're going, like you have this like maybe vision or goal that you want to get to. But in the in-between between now and that point, I think we need to have a David posture. And that's where I was talking to you about, like, okay, especially if you want to be in a position where you want to help people, you know, because I think even if we are a little egotistical or narcissistic, I think that it can be true to have that those feelings of egotism, being having the ego and being a narcissist, but also at the same time being like, I do want to help people, you know? And if you want to get to a position where you want to help people with whatever it is, you know, like maybe you want to start a company and you want to help employ people, you know, or you want to start a foundation and help, you know, people in need. Like the in between of now and that point, I think it's similar to what I've said about marriage. You know, like people think when I get married, everything's going to change for me. Like the way I am, you know. Me and my girlfriend used to fight about certain things. And when we get married, we're not going to fight about those things anymore because we're going to live together and we're going to, and it's no, whatever it is that you practice before marriage is what you are taking into marriage. And I feel like whatever it is that you're practicing right now and your everyday ordinary life that is going to lead up to that big moment or that big break or that moment where you're helping a lot of people, like, whatever you practice right now is what you're carrying into that. And if it's all like pure being a, like a, having egotism or narcissistic or I want the spotlight, well, guess how you're going to be when you get up there? Like you're not all of a sudden going to change. Like when you get that big break, it's the same thing with when you get $1 million, it doesn't make you a better person. It just exposes who you really are. And the same thing when you catch that big break, when that big moment really comes, it's not going to change who you are. It's going to expose who you are.
Yeah.
And so I think we all need to have that David posture of like, you know, I'm going to paint a picture that he went, wow, like what an honor. I just got anointed. I'm going to be the next king, but I'm not king right now. And so I'm going to go back and be of service, you know, and I think that's what we need to do is practice that heart of service. Especially if, again, if you have this desire or this thing pulling you towards, I want to help a lot of people, like help people now.
Yeah.
Help the people that you're surrounded with now. Like, why are you waiting for this one big moment where I can fill a stadium of like 30,000 people to help 30,000 people? Why can't you help the one person now? And I think those are the people that when you see them actually get their big breaks, when they become people of influence, you can clearly tell which people have really had that David posture of like, I'm serving from now till whenever. You could see the genuineness in the people, and you could see the people that are like, oh, that person is just, you know, just a spotlight person.
Yeah. Yeah. So we mentioned, right, about like why waiting is hard, and it's because we're trying to constantly catch this next thing, this big break. Our culture is wired to saying like, you need to do more, you need to go faster, and we can lose it in that, like as time goes by, we're like, wait, we start doubting, did they say that, maybe it's too far, and we kind of like desesperados, right, like desperate, try to force it ourselves. And then so the question is like, what happens in waiting that is so important? And how you said, right? Like, you get prepared. It's, I'm going to practice because I might need this skill, or I might need to do it in a bigger capacity. And so I need to refine this skill.
Yeah.
I think how the Bible says, right? Waiting, it, or even suffering, which I feel like sometimes waiting can feel very, like a process of suffering. It's not good. It's not comfortable. It makes you doubt yourself. It makes you see what you're made of. And I do believe it produces character, resilience, deeper faith, and it could produce clarity once we start fine-tuning our skills and start honing down on what God has called us to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and you talking about the waiting season and, you know, the preparation, that is part of trust the process. You know, you feel called to help women, and you see yourself being a speaker and being invited to all these events. Help the women now. And the Bible verse that I'm going to use is Matthew 25:23. Very simple. And it says, you have been faithful over this small amount, so now I will give you much more. And it's that in that waiting period, in that process period, it could be years, and it could be 1 year, it could be 10, it could be 15, it could be 30, whatever the time is, be faithful in that time. Whatever it is that you see yourself doing, do it in the little now. And as you do that, you're going to be being trained, and you're being prepared, and you're being equipped, you're gaining wisdom. Wisdom is only gained through experience and time.
Yeah.
So you need all those things, especially if you see yourself in this big moment. Like, if you don't have all these experiences, if you don't have all this wisdom, if you don't have all this being faithful or practicing who God is calling you to be, again, you could be given that opportunity. But if preparation was not done, you're going to flop, and you're going to flop hard. And then you're going to regret not being faithful in the little.
Yeah, that's good. And then how would you suggest to wait? Well, you said that, see like what you can do now as if you were already there, right? Like as if you're already there. Work diligently as if you're already there. Like, do what you want to do, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say in this waiting season, like, for example, if I see myself impacting men, impact the men that are around you right now, even if it's three people, even if it's five guys, like whatever it is. and help them in any way. That's your training ground right there.
Yeah.
And that is going to form your character. Because, again, you don't get wisdom without experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying the experiences are going to be very pretty. There's going to be some times where, let's say in this case of men's, like I want to impact men.
Yeah.
Like you're going to have some situations and experiences where that are not pleasant at all. You might get backstabbed by these people that are around you that you're trying to help. All that is going to prepare you. All of it. So I think I fully agree with you. Do not idolize. Do not over glorify this one moment.
Yeah.
And waste this time that you have now. Like, and honestly, I think even a better posture is if that one glorious quote unquote moment never comes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say.
What did I do in the time that I had here? And honestly, like, I would hate to be on my deathbed, never getting this glorious moment, and then looking back and be like, I wasted my time. I wasted it. Mm-hmm. And how much more fulfilling would it be of being on that deathbed and being like, the time that I had, the resources that I had, the influence that I had, I gave it away to be a blessing. Mm. And I think that is a fulfilled life. That in itself is a glorious moment for you to know that you're about to meet your creator and be like, I did my best.
Mm-hmm. And I think while we wait, we need to like be self-aware. And it goes back to like journaling, asking questions to people around you, because you can easily, like as human beings, our minds change. So we can be strong one season and then weak another and be like starting to get impatient. And so just be true to yourself and limit comparison. Don't say if someone got it, maybe exactly what you wanted. Like, oh my God, I'm wasting time, or, you know, why haven't I got it? Am I doing something wrong? Like, and then again, we go in this cycle of trying to force it on ourselves. But part of me wonders if we all kind of feel this way because our whole life is waiting. Like how you said, what if we never get to that, what we're looking for? Because what we're looking for is on the other side. Like this isn't our home. Like we're waiting for that moment, which is meeting our creator. Because if we look at maybe the only lives we should compare ourselves to is the ones in the Bible, like New Testament, Paul, Peter, Stephen, like people would look at that, their stories, and be maybe not even know the context, be like, dang, those guys never made it. Like those guys, like look at their lives. But if you ask them, they're like, no, like I lived my purpose life. Like I did what I was called on earth. But in our culture, it doesn't look like that. And so I wonder if we're always going to feel that because this is a whole journey. Like we're not going to make it until we're perfected in him, until we see him face to face. And so I wonder if like this is life, the process. And so while we wait, how are we going to wait? I think we should wait with heaven in mind.
Yeah. And then another example that I can think of is like Moses. Mm-hmm. Moses was told, you're going to cross over the Jordan. You're going to be in that land of milk and honey. Homeboy didn't make it.
No. He saw it.
He saw it, but he didn't make it. And I think we may over glorify this big moment, you know, and again, because of the culture.
Final. Yeah.
Because of the social media, and like it's so accessible now to like be famous, and so accessible to be an influencer. But I really think that we need to constantly put ourselves in check. Mm-hmm. And don't put all of your value, all of your emotions in this one big moment. I think enjoy the ordinary.
Yeah.
And to me, I wouldn't even call it ordinary. Like if you really take the time to see God in the details, like it's not ordinary. Like it's only ordinary if if you make it ordinary. Mm-hmm. Like, I see my kids every single day, but every single time I get to hug one of them, it's not ordinary to me. Mm-hmm. That to me, like, I'll cherish that for the rest of my days, you know? And so, like, yeah, you, anyone like from the outside can call it ordinary. Like, oh, you see your family all the time. Like, that's nothing special. It's like, no, if you make it ordinary, it's going to be ordinary.
Yeah.
And enjoy your time. Enjoy the opportunities that you can be of a blessing to others. Enjoy the time where you can help other people. Enjoy being formed. Enjoy God giving you wisdom. Enjoy the struggles. Mm. And there's a verse.
Count it all joy.
Yeah, count it all joy. All the struggles that you're going through, all the persecution and all the, what's the word that I'm looking for with the T?
Tribulations.
All the tribulations that you're going through, because they're going to form you. They're going to give you perseverance. They're going to give you endurance. Like, it's going to make you a better person. And again, in all that, you are being formed and created and matured and you're growing, and eventually you will be able to influence more people because you have been prepared for that.
Yeah.
But again, like, as simple as somebody who wins the lottery, if they have not been prepared to handle all that money, they're usually the ones that go broke within a year. You need to be prepared for the size of the glory that you are looking to handle. Like, and that's the thing that's wrong with a lot of us, that the ego in us tells us we are ready. Like, we're like those teenagers. I don't know if you were ever like that. I don't think I was, but like those teenagers that you see on like TV, where they're just like, you don't understand me, mom. You don't understand me, dad. I'm a grown adult and blah, I could do anything. And the parents go, okay, go try. And then they come back like the prodigal son, like, oh, I wasn't ready for it. Like, those are the people that go, I can handle it now. Just give it to me now. It's just like, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. You haven't hit leg days yet. Like, you're not ready to sustain everything that God's ready, like, willing to give it to you. And again, if you don't prepare, if you don't take advantage of the time, if you are not faithful in the little, mm-hmm. you will not be physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally prepared for what God had for you the whole time.
And I wonder, and like, this is convicting me, if the New Testament, like apostles, the disciples, what if they had a conversation with us and they'd be like, what more do you want? Like, you have the Holy Spirit. Like, that's what we wanted. That's what we saw, the Messiah. Mm. That's what he came to do. He left, but he gave you the Holy Spirit. He said he's coming back. Like, what do you mean you're waiting for something? You know? Because the Old Testament is all waiting for the Messiah. And now we have it. And it's like, it's not enough. Like, we're in this journey with God. And I see God like next to us. And we're like looking. And he's just like, what? Hello, I'm here. Like, why can't you see?
I think to be a little radical, like I said, there's some people that have like this deep-seated desire. Mm-hmm. Like, again, could be, come from a lot of different things. But this like feeling of like, I need to like be of influence. I need people to see me. I need people to hear me. I need, like, I have something to give. Like, all these things. But then they shy away from the moments. Like, let's say, like, I want to be an influence to women. Mm. And then they see a homeless woman walking down and they see there's possibly an opportunity to help that homeless woman in some way. And they go, that's not really what I was looking for. Mm. Or same thing with a guy. I want to be influenced to men. And they get encountered by a man that's truly in need, that's going through like turbulence and mental torment. And they go, it's not. It's almost like they want the low-key, like a Beverly Hills type of like ministry. Like, hey, I don't want the ugly part. Mm. I only want the pretty part. And that's why a lot of people, I think, also jump onto social media where they go, let me be an influencer on social media. So I can say all these nice things and all the right things, but I don't really have to interact with anybody. Mm. And it's like, no, that's not what God's calling you to do.
Yeah.
Or I want to be a preacher. I want to be a motivational speaker, but they can't motivate or speak to like the person on the street. Like, what do you think that you're going to do? Mm-hmm. So I just go back to, you have this big dream. Be faithful in the little.
Yeah.
And the little might look ugly to you. But if you're faithful with it, trust. There's more coming.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I think this was a good conversation. I think all of us are waiting, whether you know God told you a promise and you don't doubt it, but you're like, okay, God, why is it taking forever? Mm-hmm. Whether you have no idea and you're just waiting to, I guess, see clear, waiting. Maybe life is hard, because I don't want to negate that we live a good, comfortable life. Maybe there's people listening to us that life is hard. They're in the thick of it. They're just waiting for a break where they feel like they can take a, you know, breath of fresh air without feeling stressed, without feeling like the weight on their shoulders, the responsibility. Or maybe like we're all waiting to see God face to face, where we don't have to be on this earth that is full of grief and sadness and troubles and worries, but that we're waiting, we're all waiting. And so it's while we wait, right? What does that look like? Waiting is not a waste of time. And I think people confuse that, because we want to go, see, like, and people are like, oh, what did you do today? Or whatever it looks like. Like, we feel like we need to mark off this checklist. I know I feel like that. And so I think we need to tell ourselves, waiting is not a waste of time. And how you said it's preparation time. Like, what am I doing? And I think I wrote, because you always say that 1%, or is it 3%?
It's 1%.
1% every day. So even if things, I think what that is saying, even if things don't move fast, you're still growing. Mm-hmm. And do that 1% every single day. And before you know it, God will be like, they did the work. I can entrust them with mm-hmm. it, whether it's this life or the next.
I would say one more thing. And this is more of like a challenge. And I hope you guys accept it, but like, I feel like the question needs to be asked, is the life that you have right now not enough? Is the opportunities that you have right now not enough? Mm. Because again, if tomorrow was your last day and you never got this amazing, like whatever it is that you were painted in your head moment, what then? Mm. And so I just want to reiterate the question, like, is the opportunities that you have right now not enough? And if you are glorifying and idolizing this one moment.
Or promise.
I want you to remember, it's not about you. Mm. It's not about you. Whatever it is that God is preparing to give you, it's not about you. It's not about you at all. And you must have humility to be able to handle what God is going to give you. If you have no humility, I don't think he's ever going to give it to you. Mm. And to have humility is to care for others more than you care for yourself. And that is our whole purpose here on earth, is to love other and bless others. Like, to spread the gospel, to break people out of chains, yeah, to heal the sick, to help the people in need. Like, that is our purpose. Like, we honestly need to crush and destroy whatever it is that we're glorifying in our head. Mm-hmm. And I go back to the David posture of, all right, thanks. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so, if you'd really have that posture of, I really just want to help people, then that question should hit home to you a lot of, is the opportunities that I have right now not enough? Because if you do have that posture of helping people, then you have helped people. And if you really reflect on it, because sometimes we kind of like forget, you know, but right now, like I'm getting like flashbacks of moments that, you know, I've had opportunities to help people. And like, again, I'll always go back to that thought of, if it was just that one person that I could help, more than enough.
Yeah.
That's fine. If I was only placed on this earth to help this one person, more than enough. And so, yeah, I would just challenge you guys. Is the life that you have right now, is the opportunities that you have right now not enough? Because God is blessing you, whether you fantasize or romanticize that one big moment, like God is blessing you right now in this moment. Mm. God has given you opportunities to experience love in this moment. And so, just reflect on that.
That's a good question. That's confronting and convicting. Then some of us have to, maybe we don't know because we haven't thought about it. And so do some deep soul searching of, why do we feel the way that we feel?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we wait with purpose? And remember, the Bible says, Isaiah, I think it's 40, it's 40, 12, I think. It's like, those who wait on the Lord shall not grow weary. Mm-hmm. They shall run and not faint. That's what happens when you wait. But I think it's how you said, running. You mentioned running. People who haven't trained, people who haven't trained can run 1 mile and be like, and that's a metaphor of people who desesperan, like they don't know what to do with life. Like they have not done anything. And so waiting for them is difficult. It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
When you, with your waiting time, when you train and when you put in the effort, when you're a good steward and make smart decisions, when you're waiting and when you're running, you're like, oh, I can go all day. And yep. You're running and you're waiting and you're like, nope. Then you get runner's high, where you start being grateful and falling in love with the process and loving that.
Mm-hmm.
When people are like, wait, I'm waiting, you're waiting. Why do I feel miserable? And you look like you love it. You want to do it again and again.
Yeah, that's good.
And you're not even going anywhere. Mm-hmm. When you're running around in circles. It's a metaphor, right? Like Yeah. You're just waiting for something. And so I think it's what you do when you wait that's a huge game changer.
Yeah, and I think that's a great analogy, because again, that also couples together with what I said. Success is when preparation meets opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sign up for a race, that's an opportunity.
Yeah.
And if you did not prepare, you will not succeed.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that don't even finish their races because they have not prepared properly.
Yeah.
But if you prepare properly, you meet the opportunity, you get the success, and you get the validation of, I prepared and I was ready to receive this medal that I just received.
Yeah. And we're all in this race. That's what they say in the Bible. We're all in this race.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you guys liked it. I liked the conversation. I think it's a good one. Hopefully one that everyone could relate to. And let us know your feedback. We'd love to hear it. We always are so grateful for every like. I think we don't take it for granted. This, even waiting in the better every day, see what's going to make of it.
Hmm.
I think just if it stays how it is now, we're content. Like when one person tells us, wow, I listened to it and this stood out, we're like, that's why we do it. And so I hope you guys have a great day, a great waiting season. And until next episode, bye.
Bye.